every kid, every person has the ability to put one foot in front of the other. So like if you're saying, okay, I'm going to climb Mount Everest, you're at the bottom of the mountain and you look up and you're going, I'm not going to climb Mount Everest, right? But if you break it down into sections and you just one foot in front of the other, one step at a time, next thing you know, you're at the top of the mountain. It's just a matter of what's important to you. And what's important to you? For whatever reason, I didn't feel good about myself if I wasn't doing everything I could to be the best version of myself. If I felt like I left anything on the table, it would eat away at me. I wouldn't be able to look myself in the mirror. Well, the Mamba mentality simply means trying to be the best version of yourself. That's what the mentality means. It means every day, you know, you're trying to become better. And it's a constant quest. It's an infinite quest. So starting at the age of 2, when I first started playing the game, and on and on and on, I always ask questions. I always try to get better every single day, learn more. You know, a lot of things I learned by being around the game. Right? So by the age of 6, I was already strategizing versus other 6-year-olds. I just constantly looked for things to learn from and, you know, very observant. Everything that I've learned from the game of basketball, I've carried it over into life. You know, like basketball's helped me be a better person, a better friend. Well, because there's life lessons that are within the game, like communication, like unselfishness, like attention to detail, and empathy and compassion. Like all those things are in the game. And as an athlete, if we are aware of those things, it helps us become better human beings. If your job is to try to be the best basketball player you can be, to do that, you have to practice, you have to train, right? You want to train as much as you can, as often as you can. So if you get up at 10 in the morning, train at 12, train for 2 hours, 12 to 2, you have to let your body recover. So you eat, recover, whatever. You get back out, you train, start training again at 6. Train from 6 to 8. Right, and now you go home, you shower, you eat dinner, you go to bed, you wake up, you do it again, right? Those are 2 sessions, right? Now imagine you wake up at 3, you train at 4, you go 4 to 6, come home, breakfast, relax, so, blah, blah, blah. Now you're back at it again, 9 to 11, right? You relax, and now all of a sudden you're back at it again, 2 to 4, and now you're back at it again, you know, 7 to 9. Look how much more training I have done by simply starting at 4. Right? And so now you do that, and as the years go on, the separation that you have with your competitors and your peers just grows larger and larger and larger and larger and larger. And by year 5 or 6, doesn't matter what kind of work they do in the summer, they're never going to catch up because they're 5 years behind. Right? So it makes sense to get up and start your day early because you can get more work in. If I start earlier, I can train more hours. And I know the other guys aren't doing it because I know what their training schedule is. Right? So I know if I do this consistently over time, the gap's just going to widen and widen and widen and widen and widen, and they won't be able to get that back. So to me, it was just common sense. I'm like thinking, how can I get an advantage? Oh, start earlier. Yeah, let's do that. It's just a matter of what's important to you. And what's important to you? For whatever reason, I didn't feel good about myself if I wasn't doing everything I could to be the best version of myself. If I felt like I left anything on the table, it would eat away at me. I wouldn't be able to look myself in the mirror, right? So the reason why I can retire now and be completely comfortable about it, because I know that I've done everything I could to be the best basketball player I could be. And so you can't leave any stone unturned. You can't shortchange yourself. Like, you're not... You're not cheating anybody but yourself. Right? I mean, you're tired. You're literally this far away from the line. Why would you not go that extra to touch the line? Right? So if I let him get away with that, right, all of a sudden he starts maybe to cheat something over here, right? Not give his best over here, not give his best over here. And as years go on, he's not going to reach his full potential because he's been taking these little shortcuts that just add up. And you can't let that happen. Our job as teachers, as mentors, as inspirers, it's our responsibility to hold them accountable to those things. Whatever you're doing at that moment is what you're doing at that moment. You know, it's like that's where the obsessiveness is having attention to detail for the action that you are performing at the time you're performing it. And if you can have that kind of focus, you can't help but to have a certain level of obsession or attention to detail. To be unyielding, mm-hmm. You know, like you're always going after it, always going after. And if there's a challenge that ensues, oh, good, I want to see how I stack up to that. So you go after it, It's fun. It's like you get a chance to compete against opponents and you get a chance to see where you stack up against them. It's like, I want to see. Maybe I'm not good enough today. If that's fine. I'll be good enough the next time I see you, though. You know, and you get a chance to always measure yourself. And it's just fun to do that. So I guess that's where relentlessness comes from. But whatever moments occur, good, bad, or indifferent, I can use those moments to propel me forward, use those as fuel to help me be a better player. Well, losing to the Celtics in the finals in 2008, I mean, that was tough. It was brutal. Yeah, at night in the hotel room after we lost, just thinking to myself, I might never win another championship. Like, I might have just, like, this is it. It's too hard to get back here. Maybe it's not in the cards to win another one. And so I go through that night of being mad. And then the next morning I wake up and I start thinking, nah, I got to fix this. So where did it go wrong? You know, why did we lose? Right, we weren't tough enough. Okay, we weren't tough enough. Whose responsibility is that to make the team tough? It's mine. All right, so now I have to start figuring out how I'm going to lead this team differently so to make sure that when we get to the finals the next time, we are tough and ready for this challenge. And, you know, that's how you bounce back from those moments. It was hard, man, because the Achilles injury is the worst injury for an athlete. It's like the worst. It's like the kiss of death. And when I ruptured my Achilles, I knew what happened. I knew the severity of the injury, and I didn't know if I was going to come back from it. Like, this is it. Like, my career could be over right now. Well, what I did is, you know, I went home, and I was just really angry. And I was angry. I was mad. I was angry. I worked so hard for us to get to the playoffs and to have a chance to win another championship, and then this happened. So I had a lot of anger. And then from the anger, then I was sad. And then you start feeling bad for yourself. And then you say, all right, okay, I'm done being a baby, okay? What am I gonna do now? Because I can't sit here and give up. That's not an option. So now what? It's a process. You look at process. Mm-hmm. What am I gonna do? What can I control? Surgery, we'll do the surgery. Come out of the surgery, recover. From there, physical therapy, okay? Physical therapy, piece by piece by piece by piece by piece, start running, back on the court. And so I broke things down into sections and said, okay, I'm going to focus on resting right now. This is it. I'm going to focus on moving my toes and then walking. And then, so you look at every challenge at every step, and that's how you're able to be resilient and come back from these things. Every kid, every person has the ability to put one foot in front of the other, right? So like, if you're saying, okay, I'm going to climb Mount Everest, you're at the bottom of the mountain and you look up and you're going, I'm not going to climb Mount Everest, right? But if you break it down into sections and you just one foot in front of the other, one step at a time, next thing you know, you're at the top of the mountain. I came back from the Achilles and I was fine. And then the next year, I fractured my knee, right? It's like, oh, here we go again. Come back from that next year, tear my shoulder. Here we go again, right? But if I looked at those things in totality, it'd be depressing. But if I look at it as just the facts, this is it happened. Can't do anything about it. It happened. Now what are you going to do? One step at a time. As time goes on, I'm sitting there 70, 80 years old, and I'm going to be wondering if I could have come back from this injury. I don't want to wonder. I want to find out. I want to see if the critics are out there saying he's done, he'll never come back. Well, maybe you're right. Maybe you're not. But let's find out. I think the greatest fear that we face is ourselves, actually. You know, I think it's not anything that's external or anything that's superficial. I think the greatest fear you face is yourself, because you know, we all have dreams, and it's very scary sometimes to accept the dream that you have. And it's scarier still to say, okay, I want that. It's scary because you're afraid that if you put your heart and soul into it and you fail, then how are you gonna feel about yourself, right? So being fearless means putting yourself out there and going for it. No matter what, go for it. Not for anybody else, but for yourself. Dance beautifully in the box that you are comfortable dancing in, right? So like, everybody's box is different. My box was to be extremely ambitious within the sport of basketball. Your box, it's different than mine, right? Every kid here has their own box, but it doesn't mean that your box isn't as beautiful as mine, right? Everybody has their own. It's your job to try to perfect it and make it as beautiful of a canvas as you can make it. And if you have done that, then you have lived a successful life. You have lived with Mamba mentality. Right? So it doesn't mean you have to go out here and do all of these crazy things. I'll have to be like this person or that person. No, what are you comfortable being? What is it that you want to do with your life? And once you have that, then you try to live it to the best of your ability. My vision of what my goal is changed drastically as I got older. So like as a kid, I said, I want to be the best ever. Right? And now you go through your life and everything you do is try to be the best ever, be the best ever, be the best ever. And as you get older, you start understanding that those things are very superficial things. Right? And everybody has a different opinion about it. No matter what you do, I can win 20 championships. There's always an opinion on who's the best. Everybody has different opinions. And so I started really kind of understanding, maybe that's not the important thing. Maybe the important thing is to, you know, how do we as a team grow? How do I help my teammates be better? So that was the first change for me. And then as I got older still, it became more about how are you inspiring others, right, to find themselves. That is the ultimate championship. So how do you use your passion and use that to inspire somebody else to create their passion? And then how can they pass that on to the next person? That is true success.